Are you jealous? Now, most of us would not think of us as jealous, but sometimes jealousy plays a much bigger role than we are willing to admit in our own lives. I don't talk about being jealous about another person in their relationship, though that can be true too. But what about other jealousy? We're going to consider that right here on the Corner of Truth and Life. Hello and welcome to the Corner of Truth and Life. This is Ira Hall, and we started talking about jealousy, talking about really envy. And if we talk about jealousy and envy, you know, the first thing we think about is being jealous about another person, usually in relationships, you know, jealousy over, you know, oh, are you friends with them? I thought we were friends. And in relationships and being jealous over a love interest or things like that. And so when we use the word jealousy, that's normally what we're talking about. But I want to take the definition and go bigger and not think about primarily relational jealousy in terms of romantic relationships and things like that. I mean, that can keep soap operas on the air or did for a generation. But is there a wider application to jealousy, and how can it relate? And here's the big thought: how can it relate to the inequalities that we see in our world today, and how can it explain so much of our current political standing, regardless of where you stand politically, whether you're on the left or on the right, whether you're a fan of one of the new Democratic candidates, or you're a fan of Trump, or you're a fan of neither. How does a form of jealousy explain so much of what we're dealing with today? Because one of the things that it's hard to not agree with is that we are in very polarized times, very angry times. Blame and attack just are flying everywhere, and there's just a lot of negativity. And I mean, some of this has always been the case for human history and humankind, but at least in American culture, it seems like it is particularly intense. And whether you are, you know, you love Trump and you're like, man, why do they hate him so much? Or you are somebody who really hates Trump. And so either you hate the libs or you hate the Trumps or whatever, there's a lot of hate. And how does that tie in with jealousy? Now, while the Bible does speak about jealousy, it speaks much more about the 10th commandment, which is, you shall not covet. And in do not covet, it says you shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his stuff, his servants, his donkey, all the different things that your neighbor has, you shall not covet them. And so, okay, there's one of the 10 commandments right there and covetousness, but we don't use the word covet much these days. And coveting is where you see something that your neighbor has and you want it. Not that you look and say, you know, something like that'd be nice to have. That might be the seed of a later covetous thought, but that's, you know, just looking and saying, oh, that's nice. Oh, I wouldn't mind one of those. That's pretty mild. But it begins to turn into something greater when you begin to want it and resent them having it instead of you. When you begin to say, how do I get that from him? How do I get what he has? That's when coveting really takes off. And that's jealousy. Or it's a brand, a form, and an expression of jealousy, because jealousy looks at what someone else has and resents them for having it. It sees them as a competitor to yourself. And so if they have it, you should have it. And you should have it instead of them. And that's why, you know, we plays out in in relationships of they have something that is supposed to be mine. And there are places where that might be appropriate. God is actually jealous for us because we ought to be His. He created us. He loved us. He died for us. We do belong to Him. And when we give ourselves away to others other than Him, as far as we, you know, false gods to things instead of Him, He is rightly jealous. There is appropriate jealousy. So we're not talking about that. We're talking about the inappropriate jealousy, where something that you've just decided that you should have it, and you feel a sense of entitlement towards it. And then you create a narrative that justifies why you should have it, perhaps. Or maybe you just take it and don't create a narrative. But a lot of people, they have to create a narrative. And so we can see this playing out in much of the anger in our political world today. Because each side is fighting for their version of America. Each side believes that the other side has an illegitimate version of America, and therefore you are unpatriotic. Either, you know, Trump is going to destroy the Republic, or, you know, Bernie's going to destroy the Republic with his democratic socialism. Either way, you know, it's just I'm the true American, they are not, whoever they are for you. And we jealously guard this as ours. And so we're against those that will take it away because they are trying to steal my country. Those on the Bernie Sanders end of things look at the wealth disparity with the people who have all this wealth and then the people who have nothing and says that's not right. Those who have all this wealth should not keep it all for themselves. The wealth of the world should be redistributed so that everybody should have some. On the other side, it's, well, who should have the political power and who should have the blessings of America? And so we don't want immigrants who are going to take away our jobs, our livelihood, our money. Welfare steals money from me. It's mine. I earned it. And everybody's got a point. You just have to decide whether you think that point's valid or not. But in every case, it's, listen, this is mine, and I'm entitled to it. And again, we're not evaluating whether you don't have a point. Oftentimes you do. In fact, there are places where everyone gets it right to a point. Whether they, in their application and execution, is right, well, that's a whole different debate. We're not going there today. And so we fight because we are trying to protect or get that which we feel we deserve. And so when we face a world that is, in its very, very conduct and practice, a world that is full of inequality, where some people have political power and others don't, where some people have economic power and others don't, that can be very motivating. So if we feel that our side's been losing, it motivates us and makes us angry. So then how does God tie into all that? Because that is just the normal way humans do human. But in the book of James was dealing with a world very much like our American world today, our Western world. He was in the Roman Empire, writing in Jerusalem. So he was part of a people who had been captured, made part of the empire, but they would prefer to rule themselves. The Jewish people did not want to be under Rome, as many people didn't want to be under Rome, and that's why Rome had to work so hard to try to keep everybody together under Rome. And there were economically advantaged people, and there was a lot of economically disadvantaged people, especially in the church. The church had tended to appeal more to the poor. Jesus appealed more to the poor. He got some rich followers, but as he told his disciples, it's hard for rich people because they have so much stuff. It's hard for them, especially with a message of, it's not about your stuff. And so while there were rich people in the church was predominantly poor. Because the downtrodden and the outcast were who Jesus had come to. He says they're the ones who recognized their need. And powerful people were less represented in the church. Again, some were reached. Some did actually come to Jesus. I mean, Matthew was a tax collector. He was somebody who had some power. But Matthew is kind of an outlier in that more unpowerful people came than powerful people. In fact, several times Jesus actually takes really note of when a powerful person comes because it's like, wow, that took a lot of faith. Because it actually took more faith when you have something to give up than when you don't. So when it comes to this jealousy, when it comes to this covetousness, this fighting, it really can become very tempting when you're facing a world that is unfair. Because now I need to try to level those scales. And James writes to churches throughout the empire and says, okay, I know you're going through hard times, and I know that you are sometimes suffering from a lack of political power or a lack of economic power. And he opens his book by saying, consider it all joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials. And right that first opening paragraph after he greets them is an immediate assault on our normal way of approaching. Consider it joy? Aren't I supposed to get geared up and outraged? And you want me to consider it joy? He says, when you encounter those trials, it tests you. And it makes you, it tests your faith to make it stronger. What do you mean makes my faith stronger? Well, he's not talking about faith as far as some vague religious belief. He's saying, do you trust Jesus? Do you trust Jesus that he knows what he's doing and that the position you're in, while seemingly disadvantaged to you, is actually right where you're supposed to be? And he keeps that thought going. He says things like, the poor should glory in their exalted position. What? James, I'm poor. I am not exalted. I'm down and out. He says, yeah, oh, isn't that awesome? It's like opposite day. Because he says, you're better off. And then he says, you know, the rich man should glory in his humiliation. Huh? He says, because their riches will pass away. All those things that you long for are not, they're not going to stick around. They're not worth having in the long run. And he begins to try to not attack the system, but attack the values that underpin the system, that to have the power and have the money is what I should have. And he goes, no, you should be glad you don't have them. Those things aren't good. And then he says, every good gift comes from above. He goes, these things that you think you want, that you're jealous for, you don't, not only don't you need them, but you shouldn't have them. They're not good for you. God has something better. And that's just messed up from a human perspective. And that's why it's hard to popularize that, because it's not our normal tendency. When people say, well, religion's just something to make you feel better. Well, maybe religion is, but the Bible isn't. Jesus didn't come to just say, hey, I'm going to tell you whatever makes you feel better. Because telling a poor person, you know, you shouldn't lust after riches is tough. What are you jealous about? And what do you need to rejoice that you don't have? And how will that change your life today? Thank you for listening to the Corner of Truth and Life. This has been a broadcast of the Beans Corner Baptist Church, located at the corner of 133 and 156 in North J. We would welcome you to join us each Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. for a service of music and challenge. If you would like to get more information on the church, listen to this show, past shows, or other messages, please visit us on the web at beanscorner.org or find us on Facebook. Thank you for listening, and we remind you to seek truth. This is Pastor Ira Hall. Have a great day.